wide ass open, especially Evans, all day long. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. All right, Buccaneers fans, playoff victory, a home playoff win. Not the Super Bowl, a playoff win. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter, who will be a very busy man on Tuesday. But today is not about the Hall of Fame, Ira. Today is about Buccaneers dominance at the Lighthouse, the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. All the fun on the Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford. They're 1 mile north of the stadium on the east side. They're the giant. They are Tampa's first family of Ford, 61 plus years. And you will not beat the service, the attention, the detail, the prices, the Ira Kaufman discount at Bill Curry Ford. GM Sean Sullivan is waiting to serve Bucks fans. Just call him, email him, walk in, say, Sean, I need help. This is what I need. This is what I can spend. This is how my son needs help. He just got into a wreck. Whatever it is, Sean will help you personally. You cannot beat that level of service. Ira drives a 2020 Ford Escape, cherry red. He loves that thing. He'd live in it if he was allowed to, but Cosmo doesn't like it. Sage, we're fired up. We're drinking Big Storm beer. You're at the stadium as we speak, Ira. This was a beatdown. Fans can read your column at joebucksfan.com. Your thoughts.
Steve, this is the classic game where somebody who didn't watch it and looks at the score on ESPN tonight and sees 31-15. It was probably a tight game and the Bucks pulled away at the end. Hogwash. Hogwash. This was a beatdown, in your words. It was a dominant performance. 31-0. Mass exodus from Raymond James Stadium. Eagle fans maybe heading to Dunedin to try to get a Philly cheesesteak from Delco's. Buck fans running home to try to catch the Cowboy 49er game. A tremendous performance by the home team, which is now 8-1 in this building and guaranteed another home game next week. I don't care who they're playing. This was a fantastic performance. And if they repeat this kind of precision, energy, execution, all three phases, I don't see anybody beating them next week.
Well, Sage, let's get into that precision. I'm going to give you a moment to gloat, Ira, because I know you took your shirt off in the press box. You were fired up, and you revealed that you were wearing your Giovanni Bernard jersey. This is why the Bucks signed him. He stood out as a playoff hero. He hasn't played since, really done anything since November 22nd. Bruce Arians said after the game that he Band-Aid, duct tape, and what a performance. He did it on the ground. He did it through the air. And the important thing is that they relied on him and he was there.
You know, he's a veteran. He's played in some big games. You know, not that the Bengals are, you know, perennial playoff.
When they play in a big game.
But they've been in some big games over the years. Bernard knows how to handle himself. Now, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong. You watched this game like a hawk. I think the first pass that went Bernard's way was all screwed up. I think he either dropped it or it was a bad pass from, it was a little flare to the left, I think. But after that, he really hurt Philadelphia. Brady used him judiciously, smartly, and he plays a role. Look, I don't want the guy carrying the ball 15 times. And I'll say it again, just listening to Arians' post-game comments. Lee, I've been saying it all year long. Arians loves Keyshawn Vaughn. He likes this guy. I think Vaughn is well poised for 2022.
Yeah,
perhaps to be the lead back on this team. And I don't think it's mere noise from Arians because he says it too many times. He never refrains from praising Keyshawn Vaughn. The Bucs outgained the Eagles on the ground today, Lee. How many people thought that was going to happen without Fournette, without Jones? So hats off to the O-line. Hats off to the D-line. This was a beatdown.
Oh, my gosh, yes, it was a beatdown. The thing that jumped out at me was the enthusiasm the defense played with. Emotion, enthusiasm, looked like a different defense. Now, of course, you're going to put J.P. Heath back in the lineup, Shaq, Levante David, either they're going to be better. How much better? I didn't expect that. As Steve was pointed out several times, when Levante David came back from his sprained ankle, he wasn't the same guy for a couple of games. And just when it seemed like he had turned the corner, they got hurt again. So I didn't know what kind of Levante David was going to be on the field today. Same thing with JPP. Same thing with Shaq. Although I sort of suspected JPP would be better because they were just resting him. He wasn't really, outside of his torn rotator cuff, which is major, he didn't really suffer any additional injuries. Shaq was the knee, and Levante David, you know, like I said, I didn't know what to expect. They were dominant. And I was like, holy cow, look at the old defense. And oh, by the way, Sean Murphy Bunching didn't play. Starting corner was out. And when I heard he was out, I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest with the listeners, as I always am. I whipped up my phone. I pulled up Bovada, and I put an extra $20 on Eagles and the points. And I had put money on the Eagles last week that they were given 8.5 points. I thought, okay, I thought it was going to be a close game entering this morning.
Well, you said when they're missing a corner, the whole defense shrivels up.
Yeah, collapses. Yeah, I learned this when I first got in the press box and the inactives came out. Steve's the one that caught it. I didn't. I saw that David was active. I started twittering, Levante David's active, great. Then I see Steve's Twitter, Sean Murphy Bunting out. I'm like, what? And I look like, oh, no. And I swear to you, immediately, I put extra $20 on the Eagles and the points. So to how much I know.
Now you're out $20 to Kemper.
And I'm happy
about it. You know, Steve, another guy that I think is worth mentioning in terms of setting an early tone of aggression, Jordan Whitehead's playing. He's playing great football, Steve. Him and Devin White met at Hertz on a 3rd-and-2 play, which was Philly's first possession, and ended that possession. They sort of met at the quarter. I don't know what that call was, Steve. It looked like a terrible call by Philly. I don't know what they were doing on 3rd-and-2. I don't know what Hertz was trying to do. He looked like he was immobilized. And the next thing you know, here comes Whitehead meeting White at the quarterback. And then he also dropped Sanders for a 5-yard loss. Steve, Whitehead's really showing up on this run support big time.
He's just really had a strong year. He's not week-to-week super consistent Pro Bowl caliber, but he'll turn in games like today where he's just an impact player like we saw last year in the postseason. A couple of things to comment off what you guys said. Regarding Bernard, Ira, and just the running backs in general, and when you talked about this, when you met with Arians and afterwards, and I just looked it up because I was reminded of it. Back in July, I wrote a post saying that when I went to the White House for the Bucks' celebration there, you know, talking to coaches and players off to the side, whatnot, the one name that kept coming up, even though training camp hadn't started yet, was Keyshawn Vaughn. Keyshawn Vaughn, they liked his spring. That was the one guy that, you know, they were extra excited about. And here he is, and think about this. The Buccaneers realistically run 5 deep at the running back position when you factor in Le'Veon Bell and now Bernard back. You know, yes, we have guys hurt, but what team runs 5 deep at running back with some quality names and some quality production? It's really impressive for what Jason Light has done. And on that front, on the defensive side of the ball, no Sean Murphy Bunting. Lee, I thought the same thing, although I still thought the Bucs would win by a couple of scores. But I thought the same thing. And Mike Edwards, they gave him the chance to play nickel and fill that role full time. And what did he do? He does what he usually does, is make a huge play. Now he's got 4 interceptions, Ira. It just took him 1 extra week to get that number you thought he would hit.
That was a really spectacular interception.
Yeah.
Because he came out of nowhere. I mean, that was outstanding. And it was a big play at the time because, you know, it's a goal line interception. So hats off to Mike Edwards. You know, Steve, Vaughn starts the game with a 17-yard run on the very first snap right up the gut. That showed Philadelphia right then and there, you're in for a long day. So I think the Bucs are in pretty good shape in the backfield right now.
But Keyshawn Vaughn, I may be overstating this. Maybe it's the rush of adrenaline after a big playoff win. Last year, Ronald Jones was the number one back. He lost his job. He got sick. He got hurt. He lost his job. His playoff landing took over, and playoff landing showed that he belonged. Ronald Jones never got that job back. Is it a stretch to suggest we may be watching a repeat of that? Because Fournette tweaked his hamstring again before the game, and Arians talked with Cheryl Walsh, NFL Network, this morning, and said he tweaked his hamstring. That's why we held him out. Are we seeing Keyshawn Vaughn possibly replacing playoff money?
It could happen. The difference is that Ronald Jones had not proven himself in the postseason when Fournette took over that job last year, where now we know what Fournette can do in the postseason. Look, if Fournette's healthy, you know, I think they're going to go with Fournette. But hamstrings are funny. I mean, look at Mike Evans. He doesn't look like he ever had a hamstring. Steve, problem. And Steve, you know, we got to talk about Wirfs, Steve. We got to know what they said about him on TV because Lee and I were at the game and we weren't privy to the broadcast. Arians didn't shine any kind of great light except to say, Steve, that they are working on Tristan Wirfs' ankle as we speak. And they ain't going to stop for the next 6 days, Steve, to get him back in that lineup.
Real quick on the running attack, both the running attack and the run defense. These guys look peed. They look pissed off. The way they ran the ball, they run. I thought the strength of the Eagles was their interior front line on defense. They ran right at them. They went right at them, and they were gouging. Flip the coin, Bucks on defense, they looked like they were pissed off because people kept talking about Eagles run game, Eagles run game, Eagles run game. Oh, you guys are bad. You guys are lousy couple games. You're done. You're history. You'll be lucky to hang in the game. They're going to pound you. They look pissed off, Ira. Am I wrong at that?
You're not wrong because the Jets had 150 yards rushing against them a few weeks ago, and they never heard the end of it. And people were saying, well, the Jets can do that. Can you imagine what the Eagles can do? They were pissed off. I think Lavonte David even said it after the game that it gave them extra motivation. Steve, it was a bravura performance by the Bucks. Forget the final score. They kicked ass today.
What was that word you just used?
Bravura.
I love it. There I got to look that up.
Bravura, baby.
Well, Lee, you were on the money. You wrote that story, and then Lavonte David, as Iris said, just flat out came out and said they were pissed off about all the noise about their run defense. I added that to your story. It was very timely, and they came out with a different level of energy. I thought it was interesting. Jamel Dean mentioned the big difference today was the energy level on defense. I mean, I hate being cynical. It's like, well, where was it before? You know, what were you thinking? What's going on? But who cares if it's back now and it's back with a vengeance? These defensive backs were fantastic. And on that running game, I'll throw a number at you as long as I have them in front of me. First, on the Lee's theory, hey, maybe playoff Lenny has got something to worry about. Well, Vaughn has led the team in rushing four consecutive weeks now, and he's got three touchdowns in those weeks, and he's got 42 carries, Ira, 42 carries for how many yards, you think, Sage?
170.
183, 42 for 183. So, I mean, that's solid production. Obviously, he probably would have had a little more if they weren't dialed in on the run late in the game today. But very impressive stuff, and it just speaks so well to the team's depth, and they don't have to rush Lenny. You know, maybe Rojo's ready next week, but either way, I don't think anybody's terribly concerned about the running game, which is very comforting. And Vaughn had a couple of good hands on some catches as well. So, you know, he hasn't dropped the ball in a few weeks. So that's looks really well for the team.
What are you feeling about the Wirfs situation and the ramifications, Steve?
Yeah. On Tristan Wirfs, Ira, let me say this. Big Storm Beer is available at their tap rooms. BigStormBrewery.com is where you can find all the Big Storm tap rooms. It's in Publix, the Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, Palm Bender, another great IPA, Wavemaker Amber Ale. When Wirfs went down, Ira, I needed a Bromosa in a hurry. Had to mainline it. It was a sad moment. But the consensus was, and even from Gronk after the game, the consensus was that, hey, Wirfs came back, tried it, and hey, that probably means it wasn't so bad if the doctors let him go back and give it a shot. So I'm not sure why they let him come back, winning 17-0, but they did. He got mauled, and Brady took a shot, and it was over. But, I mean, they're upbeat about it, although the one issue, I think, Ira, which you wouldn't have heard or known about at the game, is that they said on the broadcast that Josh Wells also got hurt but was gutting through the game. So they may have two injuries at the position, and that's a problem if Wirfs can't be 100%. You know, they need him against these teams that will rush with four down linemen, and we'll see who the Bucks end up playing. We won't go there, but at least it looks like he won't be out for long.
Lee, you know, you don't know if it's a high ankle sprain. Those are usually the bad ones. That's like 3-4 weeks or whatever. But, you know, it's a tribute to Tristan Wirfs that we're talking like this about Tristan Wirfs. Why are we doing that? Because he's a first-team All-Pro. It's an outstanding offensive line, and he's the best player on it. He is, you know, and Ali Marpet's got his guys and Donovan Smith, but sure, Tristan Wirfs is the guy. I don't say that they can't win without him, Lee, even going on and facing better teams than the Eagles. And by the way, Lee, I'll say it right now. The Eagles stuck. They stuck.
Yeah.
They stuck. You know, in the words of our man Isbitz, they had no juice. They had no juice. Now, did the Bucs knock the juice out of them? I didn't see the juice from the start in Philly. But I don't really want to take anything away from the Buck effort, which was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
But the Eagles stuck. Can they win without Wirfs? It's going to be a lot harder,
yeah.
But it's not impossible.
I agree. It was encouraging, at least from the eyeball, after Wirfs got hurt. I used your binoculars. I forgot mine. I haven't come to a game in so long, I forgot my damn binoculars.
But I showed my, I brought my specs.
Yeah, you had your specs. So I used your binoculars. Someone sent me a picture of Wirfs pacing on the sidelines. And I'm like, well, that's a good sign. And I got your binoculars. I saw he was sitting on a bench by himself, and he was like clapping and yelling for the offense. He was very involved, very engaged. And the next time I look later, maybe 2 or 3 minutes later, I see him standing up and walking around. I'm like, well, how bad can it be? The guy's standing up and walking around. He's still in uniform. And so I thought maybe there was hope he can come back, which he did. But he had no mobility at all. None. He couldn't move on that ankle.
I'm glad the coaches saw that quickly and got him
out
of
there. Yeah, get out of there.
Hey, Ira, real quick. Did you bring that tripod-like device that you have where you put the binoculars on it and just set it on the cheerleaders? Did you do that?
No, but it's the same device that has been used on outside my bedroom window over there.
Oh! Ira, what I thought was also encouraging, and you got to give props to Jensen about this, and he had him on the big board where I didn't need your binoculars to see this. When he went down, you know, he was down for a while. He worked on his leg. When he got back up, his face was redder than his hair.
Yeah.
I mean, beet red. And you could tell that they were going to help him up the field. He basically going to get lost. I'm cleaning it up. He was not, just like an old war movie, he was not going to leave the battlefield unless he could walk away.
He wasn't going to leave 10 soldiers behind on offense over there, Steve.
He's a man playing for a contract like so many of these Bucks, which sort of makes the postseason even that much more interesting. So many free agents to beat. And now we know from Bruce Arians on Monday that Tristan Wirfs is questionable. He's in a boot, and they'll make a decision on Friday. And we also know that Ryan Jensen will be a Friday decision. What exactly his injury is unclear. Arians explained that if Wirfs can't go, and Josh Wells, his backup, is nursing a quad issue, if he can't go, then it would be Kappa at right tackle, and it would also be Aaron Stinney at right guard. I don't even want to think about it, Ira. Contractors, plumbers, heating and cooling companies, property managers, reach out today to Florida's Elite Restoration. Owner Josh Martin, personally, he will tell you how his company can help you service your clients honestly and in a cost-effective manner and efficiently and effectively with a free assessment of what's going on at their property. Florida's Elite Restoration is a great local company. They've been doing this for years, but owner Josh Martin comes from 14 years in the insurance industry as an adjuster, so he knows the other side in what can sometimes be a very dirty business. Call Florida's Elite Restoration today or go to floridaseliterestoration.com. And homeowners, of course, that's your first phone call anytime you have a disaster in your home. After the fire's out, or when you find mold or have a flood, call them first, and then they will give you a free assessment of what's happening, an honest assessment in your home, so you can proceed accordingly, and they can help you make sure you get the job done and don't get ripped off. Florida's Elite Restoration. I got to ask you this, Sage. You said the Eagles stunk, and I agree with you. They didn't have the right game plan. Mike Evans even talked about, hey, they played me a lot more man coverage after no man coverage. The first time around, it was all zone. Meanwhile, the Bucs had their full complement of weapons in the last game. So, hey, they gave Evans a break, and he took advantage. But, Ira, given the Eagles that you saw, can we learn that much about the Bucs from this performance? I mean, I just got to ask you straight up, you know, were the Eagles good enough to really test the Bucs?
Well, some people are going to jump on that and say that's a 9-8 team, shouldn't have even been in the playoffs. Maybe they're not without the expanded playoffs from last year. I'm not going there, Steve. They still had a winning record. They were playing well the last half of the season. It's not like they stumbled their way in. They didn't play their regulars against Dallas, so you don't count that game. Mm-hmm. They stunk, but the Bucs played great football, and the Bucs would have beat a lot of teams today. And I'm going to use Lee's word, energy. I think that's exactly right. Here's another point, Steve. There are times this year in some Buck games, maybe New Orleans, maybe Washington, where after the games I said every Brady pass was contested, and when the other quarterback threw, they weren't contested passes. They're wide open. I thought it was the exact opposite today. I thought Buck players were wide-ass open, in the words of Arians, wide-ass open, especially Evans, all day long. And virtually every Hurts pass was contested. Big, big change from what I've seen at certain times this year.
What was that Gronkowski touchdown? You talk about blown coverage.
Oh, man.
Holy cow.
Holy cow. Evans was open all day long, Steve, all day.
Yeah, I mean, it was just such a special day on so many levels for the team. You know, the job they did on Hurts in the first half, I mean, just really extraordinary. 88 yards passing, and he's eating a sack. And, you know, Joe Tryon made a great play as a spy. They primarily used him as a spy most of the game. He would sort of rush and then, you know, take two steps, fall back, and he had a tip that could have been intercepted. Carlton Davis, if you really look at the game, he dropped a couple of interceptions in this game. The special teams coverage was good. Jalen Darden, we won't go there on this happy day. But I agree with you, Ira. I think anybody who says, well, it was the Eagles and this and that. No, I thought the Bucs were dominant, jumped out to that 31-0 lead, and away we go.
And, Steve, what did you notice the most on Shaq Barrett's play when he dropped into coverage and had that pick? I mean, it was a terrible pass by Hurts, Steve, but still a nice play by Shaq Barrett.
The elevation from Shaq on that jump was extraordinary. And if you really look at that pick and you compare it to the one that made all the Sports Center highlights and all over Twitter last week, which was Jalen Ramsey's interception in the end zone. Yeah, Shaq's wasn't in the end zone, but it was every bit as athletic and incredible, and I'm sure it gave him a lot of confidence, even though he didn't really do anything else on the stat sheet. But his run defense, you know, him and JPP out there helped solidify everything.
You know what that looked like to me, Shaq? Dennis Rodman going up for a defensive rebound.
Not bad, Lee.
That's
not
what
bad.
It looked like.
Not bad.
He skied that high. He looked like going for a rebound.
Sage, it was kind of like when, you know, it's late at night and the cheese doodles are on the top shelf and you gotta get up there for it.
Well, Cosmos has tremendous leaping ability.
Oh, he's been on the counter?
He goes right on the counter. And, I leave a piece of roast beef out there, and he grabs it. And, of course, I get mad because then I don't get it. Steve, did you feel JPP's presence help their run defense at all?
Honestly, no. But I have to watch the game again. But, no, I mean, JPP is just not much of a factor out there. Maybe it did a little bit, helping set the edge. He's better than Tryon out there on run defense. But I got to say no before I watch it again.
All in all, Steve, a fantastic performance by the Bucs. Let's go back to week 6. They were up 28-7 in Philly. They let their foot off the gas. They kind of did the same thing today, except it wasn't a 21-point lead. It was a 31-point lead, and it was the fourth quarter rather than the third quarter. I'm not going to knock them for giving up two cheap touchdowns to Philly. Steve, I'm not going to nitpick
that.
No. The performance was too good.
Here's what I would say about that, and I wrote this. A playoff game is hard to come by. A home playoff game is even harder. A home playoff win is even harder. They got the home playoff win. A shutout would have been nice, but you know what? It's the playoffs. The win. By the way, Otter, 19 years since the Bucs won a home playoff game here.
Nicely.
January 2003, they beat San Francisco.
31-7.
Then they went to Philly, and the famous game up in Philly.
Wow, 2003.
And by the way, I know people are going to go nuts about this, so I got to clarify. The Super Bowl was not a home game. Yes, it was played in Tampa. It was not a home game. What home game has any Bucs fan gone to where the opposing team gets to play their fight song every time they step on the field? That's not a home game. When have the Bucs fans been to a home Bucs game and they're disallowed by the NFL to shoot the cannons? That was not a home game. Even Mike Evans said, that doesn't count. It's not a home game. That's his exact words.
Beautiful. Steve, I got a little nugget for our listeners. Rondé Barber texted me. He was in the house, obviously, and he said, hey, I'm coming up to the press box at halftime. So I had my eye out. I told J.P. Peterson, because he's tight with Rondé, hey, walk down here with me. Rondé's coming up. So we saw Rondé at halftime, Steve, and Sal Palantonio, another Hall of Fame selector, was wandering the hallways. So he got in on our little coffee clutch over there. Sal Powell said two things, Steve. The first thing he told Barber was, Rondé, you've got the best speech maker in the house on your behalf on Tuesday. I hope he was talking about me, Steve, not somebody that's going to talk about him after me, like Shireen Williams or Tony Dungy. But I think he was referring to me. And, Steve, more importantly, Sal Powell said, Rondé, after Iris finished with his five-minute speech, I'm going to talk you up and say what I want about Rondé. And he tells Rondé, the only game at Veterans Stadium ever that his wife went to was the NFC title game that Rondé sealed. His wife was sitting in the stands. Sal was in the press box. And his wife went home in tears because of Rondé Barber. So, Steve, I got Sal Powell backing me up on Tuesday on that Zoom call.
Real quick, Steve, I don't know if you got to watch NFL Network after the game. Was there any word on NFL Network of Colleen Wolf, unconsolable in the parking lot? And I know she's a shameless homer for the Eagles.
Shameless.
And why did the NFL Network send her to come down here to do pregame, of all people? It's like, come on. When the NFL Network had their top 10 upsets in NFL history, and one of those was the Bucs beating the Eagles in January 2003. She was one of two people who spoke about that game in the documentary. Both of them were Philly people. She's a Philly girl. One was some Philly radio slob, and all they did was whine and cry about how the Eagles lost, and she talked about how she's triggered, her adult life was scarred because of Rondé Barber. Come on!
Well, I'm still shaking that Ira said Shireen Williams was going to speak about Barber in the room on Tuesday. I don't like that, Ira. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. She did a terrible job when she filled in for you, and I don't like it.
Well, I got her on board, so, you know, I got Coach Dungy, I got Sal Powell.
Yeah, and that should end it right there. You're going to put her to sleep, put everyone to sleep. I'm calling a Barber loss right now. I'm calling it.
Come on, Steve, you're better than that.
No,
you're
I'm not better than that. All right, Ira, look, I'm going to put you on the spot here with two nuggets here, and then we'll get out of here. I'm going to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford, it's where you shop Monday morning. You know you're looking for a vehicle. You haven't found it yet. Get to BillCurryFord.com immediately. Reach out to Giddy Sean Sullivan, biggest Bucks fan east of Dale Mabry, and he will be fired up to help you. Enjoy Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. Lots of football forthcoming. And, of course, as we heard earlier, Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first phone call whenever you have a disaster in your home or at your business. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, Bruce Arians just won his fifth postseason game in a Buccaneers uniform. That is as many as Tony Dungy and John Gruden combined. Wow. The Buccaneers have won 22 of their last 26 football games. Ira, are you ready to call Bruce Arians the greatest head coach in Buccaneers history? I am. Lee is. What about you?
You know, we're sitting here right here, and I'm looking out the window towards the east facade, which has the names of all the Ring of Honor people, and I see a couple of open spots. And all I can think of is Bruce Arians' name is going to be up there shortly after he retires.
Yeah, sure.
They'll wait till he retires, as they should.
No, they shouldn't. Do it now.
Quickly. Is he the greatest coach in Buck history? Well, Dungy turned around a forlorn franchise, but he didn't get to the Super Bowl. Gruden got to one, but his career record with the Bucs is 500.
Yeah.
The only knock on Arians, and I don't like it as a knock, he had Tom Brady. Somebody's going to say that. He had the greatest.
So did Belichick.
You can't argue with the numbers. He's 1-1, and if they play the way they played today, they could darn sure get to another one with Bruce Arians this season. So my answer is, yeah. He's the best Buck coach they've ever had.
You know what turned me to think that he was the greatest Bucks coach they ever had? In less than 2 years, he took your words, not mine, forlorn franchise, won a Super Bowl. 2 years.
And I love his coaching staff, Steve. Another big plus for Arians.
And to be fair, Dungy had a hell of a staff.
Dungy had a hell of a staff.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Lee, because I think that's the answer. Dungy, of course, forlorn franchise, turned them around, but Arians turned around every bit the same level of forlorn franchise, unfortunately, as Bucks fans remember. And you could sit here and argue that Dungy did it with four Hall of Famers on defense. You know, Arians, of course, would have several Hall of Famers, too, in the mix here. But glad the Sage is on board. Put him in the Ring of Honor next season. Do it in the preseason, Ira. What are they waiting for? They can break tradition here. The guy's 70 years old. Let him get in there and have a cocktail.
You know, Steve, on the Ring of Honor, I threw out a name today, and the guy sitting next to me, I won't say who it was, but I mentioned Gene Deckerhoff as a possible, and the guy sitting next to me said, absolutely not. Are you crazy, Ira? I think it'd be a big hit with the fans, but if you want to put Bruce Arians in next year, I wouldn't argue with you, Stevie.
Steve, I got a question for you. I didn't see it live. I saw it when I saw the video on Twitter, and I showed it to Ira. Ira obviously didn't see it live. What was that was going on the sidelines? There was some kind of hassle. Arians walked up the sidelines and clocked Andrew Adams in a noggin, as if to say, knock it off and get back to the sideline.
Maybe it was a potential skirmish that was going
to
happen?
About to happen, yeah. They were getting into a lot of jawing going on.
They replayed it maybe five times on the air. It was a big joke, very funny. It was a positive play for the Bucks, and then Andrews and another guy on the Eagles sort of got into it, and Arians clearly seemed to be afraid that Adams might get called for something. So he basically, instead of just like tackling him or getting in between the two guys, Arians smacked him in the head.
looked like a Joe Frazier left hook over there.
Yeah, he just kind of lost it. So he hit him in the head and it ended right there. And Adams didn't really flinch and he didn't really argue. And a hell of a moment seeing Arians bounce out like that. Clearly an instinctive move from the head coach. Something, the kind of thing that Ira used to do to Roy Cummings on a daily basis. All right, Sage, look, we will be back on the Ira Kaufman podcast as soon as we know who the Buccaneers will face in the playoffs in the next round at home. Ira, you're a good luck charm. I think you have to go back. All of Bucs Nation wishes you good luck on Tuesday with Rondé Barber. Feel free to disconnect Shireen's Wi-Fi when it's her turn to go. And I think good things are going to happen. And we're with you, Sage.
Thanks, Stevie. Going to give it my best shot.